There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. Both the phone and the text are the same number. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us one of those talkback messages. You'll see the microphone icon right there on the front page of the app. All right, coming up on today's show, I just mentioned with Jeff, we'll work it backwards and bring on our leadoff batter, Fenn Church. You've heard a lot about him, and stories have been written. The man fighting with Alabama Power about an easement. He and I had a conversation for quite a while today, but he's going to join me on the show at 1:30. And then coming up at 1 o'clock, Jason Kadulis and Cody Alloy with Mobile NEP are joining me. And a dog. The dog is coming, so we'll talk about that. Also, State Senator Arthur Orr at 12:30. And the leadoff batter, the crowd goes wild. It's the one and only Todd Stacey from Capital Journal and Alabama Daily News. What's up, brother?
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good. I want to hear, like, the Auburn fan perspective, because we just had the promo run there for a college pick'em here. It's here. I mean, we've had high school games, and college is just, you're going to wake up a couple times and be like, oh, my gosh, it's college football season. So how you doing? Y'all got a new coach, man.
Well, I think most Auburn fans are excited about Golich. I mean, I don't think anybody's under the, you know, delusion that there's some kind of big playoff run or something, but there was just, you know, Hugh Freeze just never took off. There's a lot of people that are pretty frustrated with the way, really ever since Malzahn was fired back in 2020 during the COVID year. Like, there's just been a string of bad hires, and so that seems to be behind us, and there's a lot of unity and everything. So look, you know, what would I say? No expectations, just vibes. I think we could have a pretty good year. I'm excited to go back and we have some pretty fun, you know, night games with old rivalries like Florida and LSU, and so that'll be fun. Of course, our big games this year are on the road with Georgia and Alabama. I hate how they do that. It used to be that we had, you know, it would be Georgia at home, Alabama on the road, or Georgia on the road, Alabama at home. And now whenever they flipped it, we got both of our primary rivals either at home or on the road. And it just, I don't know, that doesn't work.
But the next year, you would be able to, you know, have both of them at home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's a huge advantage, obviously. But it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just not the way it used to be. But the more things, changed, you know, changes the norm in college football these days. And they never asked me if I liked it.
you did not get a survey?
I didn't get a survey on NIL. I didn't get a survey on these players coming back after they've been in the pros. There's another one of those now.
Yeah, and just coming back.
So it's, I really do hope that Congress can figure something out about transfer NIL. I mean, I feel like they're pretty close. I feel like everybody kind of wants the same thing. They're just kind of, they're missing it on the details. You're getting lost in the details. I really hope they can do something on that, because it's not just the sport that we love. I mean, I think it impacts young people. And so anyway, yeah, I'm excited, but I need it to cool down a little bit, though. It's going to be hard to get in that stadium and enjoy a game at 95-degree weather.
Yeah, so I don't show up to games till like on into October for my team. All right, let's see. Let me figure out how I can do a segue. Well, those kids are employed, the NIL kids. follow me. But some people in Alabama are unemployed, and some people are just not putting themselves out to go to work. A story that came out from y'all yesterday, and as I tell folks, you get the email, you get the email 6 days a week. And so yesterday I opened it up and saw that headline and said, okay, well, let's talk about this. The not only the unemployment rate, but the labor force participation down in the state of Alabama. So talk about that.
Yeah, unemployment went up slightly, just a couple of a tenth of a point. That's not a major thing. In fact, it can actually be a good thing because that means people are looking for work, right? If the unemployment rate goes up, that means the number of people who are actively looking for work and can't find work and they apply for unemployment. Or really they take it a poll, but labor force participation, we don't need that number going down. That number needs to go way up. And there's been a huge effort at the state to try to do things to change policies and things and to encourage people to get back into the workforce. And it just hasn't taken off yet. And I don't really know the reasons why. I'm eager to talk to Greg Reed. He's the Secretary of Workforce, because now look, we're in these summer months. It's kind of a weird time. Obviously, the economy just nationally is, I don't know, almost in this like holding pattern with everything going on in the Middle East. Prices are still weird. Inflation's still weird. And so economically, it doesn't surprise me that we're just not taking off like gangbusters. But the labor force participation, we should be able to do something about that. It is not okay that 6 years after COVID, we still have people that are on the sidelines.
What are they doing?
Not looking for work, not anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question I just ask regular people words here. What are those people doing? I mean, when we talk about this number, it's not like it's a few, it's only, and I guess we need to describe workforce participation rate. Are those people between what age and what age?
That's important to point out. We really should be looking at working age, and so that's anywhere from they really calculate it to like from like 16 to 55. Now, of course, people keep working after they're 55, but that's your prime. You know, not many reasons to not be in the workforce at that point. Non-disabled, things like that. And so that's what we're concerned about. If you're over the age of 55, or
certainly
older than that.
I'm getting close.
It's less measurable, certainly over 65, actual retirement age. And there are many reasons why people don't choose to participate in the workforce. Some of them don't need to, right? Some of them, either have family taking care of them or whatever. Some of them have semi-retired or whatnot. But certainly there's a lot of, benefits, welfare, and all that kind of stuff that goes into that, and that's where people have the biggest problem with it. I don't think you should assume that everybody that's sitting out of the workforce is somehow on welfare, but it's got to be a good portion of them. And so creates what we call a benefits cliff. And so if getting a job would actually cost you in terms of what you're already getting in benefits, whether it's health care, Medicaid, other types of welfare, if it would cost you to get a job, why would you?
So you either got to raise the bridge or lower the water, or raise water or lower the bridge, right? You've got to either decide, okay, it's going to be worth more to take this job or not have it cost so much. Like, somebody said, well, I've had this conversation on the show. My wife's not going back to work because it's more expensive to have childcare than for her to work. We lose money.
That's right.
If she goes to work.
That's right. Childcare. If you lose your benefits, because Alabama has a super, super low. You got to be dirt poor to qualify for Medicaid if you're not, a child, basically. And so, that's one. there are, you know, temporary assistance for needy families. I mean, there's all kinds of them. But yes, yeah, so there's the benefits. You mentioned child care. That's a huge one. You're just going to lose money on the proposition, or you're going to work all day just to pay for the child care.
Mm-hmm.
And another big one that people forget about is transportation. A lot of folks, you know, we take having cars and stuff for granted. There's a lot of folks that don't have those, and not everybody has a bus system and things like that. The legislature's looked into ways to kind of close that gap in the past, because transportation, when you ask people what's keeping them from being in the workforce, transportation to and from work is actually a pretty big one.
Man, we've had that conversation down here. Just had the mayor on, Chiragatis, the other day, about a week and a half ago, and had that conversation as well, what they're doing here. But yeah, I had blinders on to that. I was like, okay, well, we have the public transit system. He said, well, yeah, but how far is it from where they could get on public transit to where they live? So they're doing some things here, I think, with MOGO and stuff. I think, maybe it works.
Exactly. And think about being in a rural area. If you're 30 minutes from a job site or more and don't have a car, I mean, what are you supposed to do? So there are some things that frustrate you about, like, why people aren't in the workforce, and there are some honest-to-God just barriers that we should be working on removing.
100%. All right. A story we're going to talk about more on tomorrow's show, but let's start it off here because, we got some cattle. They're, all the cattle in the state actually are fully employed. They're, if you didn't know that, they are working. But people are trying
more than their share.
They're working right now all over our state. It is. And yes, I have a dog in this hunt, and run cattle and. But I don't get it, man. Let's go to economics, freshman year economics. If you want to have people have more cattle in the United States, then you would want to incentivize the profit of having more cattle versus flooding a bunch of beef in from other places to lower the price. I mean, I don't know how you want to do both things. I'm very confused by the president's announcement on Friday.
I am too. I think a lot of people are pretty frustrated. I heard Senator Britt tried to intervene, and there are plenty of Republicans right now, especially in southern and midwestern states, that are saying, scratching their heads, like, what is this? Where are your most loyal supporters, and you're screwing us, and so the importing was 300,000 cubic feet or cubic pounds,
yes,
of beef. I mean, that does nothing to help the American rancher. It absolutely hurts cattlemen. There's no question about it. And it's all just to lower prices.
Right, but at the other side of his mouth, he's saying, we have this very low, number of cattle in the United States. We would need to bring this number up for our security. Okay, I got an idea. You incentivize profit, and then people do more of the thing that makes them the money.
I mean, I know that's probably that was in the talking points, but this is all about, before an election, trying to get ground beef prices down at the grocery store, thinking maybe it'll help Republicans in the midterms. I don't. First of all, I don't think it will. I don't think. Oh wow, beef is a dollar cheaper. I'm suddenly going to turn out and vote Republican. I just don't think that helps. And so it's grasping for straws. It's saying, okay, I've created this problem with prices, and because it's not about supply and demand. I've created this problem with a war and other policies, tariffs and other policies, and I've got to get out of it, but to get out of it, I've got to screw somebody, and it's, in this case, it's the cattleman to get screwed. So that's why I have a problem with it, because it's a problem of his own making, and he's kind of projecting the conclusion. So, we ran a story today because Doug Jones and Ron Sparks, the Democrats running for governor and ag commissioner, were Johnny on the spot.
Yep.
And they knew this is an issue and jumped on it and criticized it, because they know the Republicans are going to be not as eager to do that. And so, the headline said, Jones and Sparks are making hay out of the president's decision.
There you go. All right. That's a headline that had to. You didn't even need AI to write that kind of headline. You'd just be creative.
That's all up That's all the wit up in the old noggin there, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I had a story the other day. Somebody was consulting with me, and I said, we'd call it monkey business. And they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I said, you don't even need AI. It just got me. All right, people want to get this email 6 days a week like I talk about. How would they pick it up?
It's real easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can read all the stories there. But, yeah, sign up. Sign, put your email and your address and your name and your email and there, and you'll be on the list.
And if we would like to look at the TV, or in my case, look at the YouTube and watch Capital Journal, talk about how they do that.
Absolutely. Out of session, Capital Journal is on every week, Fridays and Sundays. You'll want to go back and watch this week's episode, though. We had a native Mobilian, one of Mobile's proudest sons, Michael Allen. He's a national security expert. Really taught me a lot about what we should be thinking geopolitically as a, you know, from an Alabama perspective. So you can go back and watch that on YouTube.
As always, man, I appreciate your time, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, I can't promise that, but we will talk next week. There he goes, Todd Stacy, and we'll get to your text when we return, 251-343-0106. State Senator Arthur Orr, he and I usually are on here talking about the Alabama Beverage Control, ABC stores. Might slip some of that in, but back in 2021, he was worried about this thing called flock cameras. But nobody else was, at least in the legislature. We'll let him take a victory lap.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1225 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. In fact, some text from over the weekend, I guess, when I wasn't here. People getting attention. News item, a big news item over the weekend for me is a big old diamondback rattlesnake that I did not kill. And I had it on social media. And people are like, well, why didn't you kill it? I don't need killing. I mean, they're, you know, next to you or at your house. That's one thing. But snakes just be doing snake stuff. All right, let's see. Let's go into past that one. A squirrel vereen. A few years ago, I quit an illogical job. Well, I've had some illogical jobs over the years. I had it. I lived off savings, and I have a house paid for and no dependents. Still unwise, yes, but I can't stress the well stress. Don't blow sunshine up my skirt. That's pretty funny. About being a dedicated worker, work ethic, and all that while running an inefficient operation with deadbeat coworkers. I also truly believed World War was imminent and thought, why not stay home until the nukes strike? You make a case there. And you use the term scort, which amused me greatly. Yeah, I mean, we'll have this conversation another day. It's dangerous when I'm looking at 55 next year and going, yeah, no, I've been doing the same thing a long time. Let's see. Pat says, I would assume. And by the way, Scrovereen, don't you? It's like one of the most cliched terms in Alabama politics. And the governor, she loves it. Hard-working Alabamians. And there are plenty hard-working Alabamians. And also there are some that aren't. It's always the hard work. When they're doing that, you're getting patronized. Hard-working Alabamians. And you're like, yeah, that's me. So I'm for this person because they said something about somebody who works hard. Come on. It's like in every ad. All right. Pat said, I would assume most of them are like my wife. She got fired during COVID, went back to school, ended up pregnant. So it just makes sense for her to stay home with two kids. Now, that makes complete sense. I'm just asking, like the people that aren't in those situations, that don't get back into the workforce. And yes, that's why I asked Todd that. You do need to tighten it down. If they say from 16 to 80 or something, listen, I get it. There's on the edges there, those people aren't going to participate in the same way. But the core number is the 25 to 54. They go prime age workers, which 54 was interesting to me. I guess I'm at the end of it, prime age worker. And that workforce participation is just around 80%. So that's good, but I don't know what the other 20. I mean, there's probably a lot of individual stories, like you said, Pat, but I don't know what they all are. All right, T-Bone and others have commented on Todd's cubic pound. Listen, he was trying. I mean, it's just like, you know, and he was on a roll. I was going to let him go. Yes, so I did see that. Unnamed texter asked Doug. I don't have Doug Jones coming on. Not that I know of anytime soon. Maybe before the general. Said asked Doug Jones why he supported the WTO, why he supported the removal of country of origin labeling from meat products, because the WTO thought it was a discriminatory against other countries. But you know, texter, what they do is they'll bring in beef from Argentina. I want to go to Argentina one day. It looks like a pretty cool spot. They'll bring in beef and then process it here and then, you know, say it's processed in the U.S. It'll get a USA label. It won't say raised here, but it'll be processed. Then people just look at it. You're not studying there. You're like, oh, it's USA. Jason says, hey, Sean, isn't the beef decision just to bridge the gap because our cattlemen can't keep up? That's the way I read it. Okay, then help me here. If you want more of something, in an economy or wherever, you incentivize it, right? So how does dropping beef prices incentivize cattlemen to buy more cows? And because each cow you have costs you a lot of money to have it. It's not like you just have it and then you sell it for the full price. What's in that pound of beef, what the producer had to put in. So if you want to increase the stocks here, you don't drop the price. 251-343-0106. We will talk to State Senator Arthur Orr. Flock cameras in the mix coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. And good to talk to my long-lost friend, Anna, at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. She's back, y'all. Hey, Anna.
How you doing? I'm good.
I'm glad to have you back. And give us an update here on a Monday on precious metals prices. What's happening?
Gold is still up $4,600 some change, and silver is just around $70 per ounce. So things are still going well. People have been in here selling stuff and buying some things.
I like it. All right. And what are they buying? Like, what's popular right now?
Silver Eagles. We've had some 90% unsold and Silver Eagles. So people are just investing into silver. And people that came in to sell stuff, they've been selling gold and silver as well. There's a lot of scrap jewelry and things, so they just needed extra cash for bills or whatnot, and we've helped them out.
Very good. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook or on our website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right, Anna checking in. And from there, let me say hello to our friend and state senator. And, well, he hadn't been on in a while, but for a while there, he'd come on with me a good bit. It's State Senator Arthur Orr. Good to talk to you. We have Senator on.
Yes.
Oh, there we are. There we are. Senator, thanks for coming on. It's been too long. Although I thought about you the other day, about 2 weeks ago, took the boy up to Space and Rocket Center. And it's a cool thing to have there in your backyard. I'll just say that. I mean, we got a battleship, but I give you some shout out there. That's pretty cool. We spent like 4 hours at the center.
Great. Well, it's certainly growing, just like the battleship is. We've made some significant investments in both, and you know that helps. When you're getting boats for that help, we got a northern effort with the Space and Rocket Center and the southern one with the battleship. And the battleship's really getting into the education space, which is good to explain to our kids, you know, how important our country is and how special it is and the history of it. And it's certainly commend the Battleship Commission for taking that on.
Very good. It's, y'all, it's the two ends of the state that hold the whole rest of the state together. I'm just saying.
North Alabama. We know that.
We're going to get quoted on that, but it's all right. You've had some great quotes on this show. This is the obviously big subject right now, but I want to point out, and because no one listens to a prophet in their own time, right? I like to give shout-outs where they're due. Back in 2021, you were talking about these things called flock cameras these days. You were talking about it, and it didn't seem like a lot of people wanted to listen.
No, they didn't. And, you know, it struck me when I found out where it was happening, you know, across the country. And we had done nothing here in Alabama. The idea that, you know, the government could just be recording your movements any given day or night. And there's no limitation on it. There was nothing. It was just the wild, wild west here in Alabama. And, you know, in other words, law enforcement officers could access the database to find out about, you know, what's my wife doing all day? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious. And yep. Tracking movements. Or my friend, my golf buddy, is he having an affair? Let's see if he, where's goes his during car? His work day. Yeah. And so anyway, the mischief was there. No restrictions on how long they could keep the database, you know, the access, et cetera. The list is long. And so, you know, tried to do something back then. People really weren't interested. Finally, cut a deal with ALDOT, since they control the rights of ways. And I would call it a bare minimum, Sean, just trying to put some parameters around the usage and around the timetables, et cetera. And now that the public has awakened, would love to go back and revisit this issue in a very strong way and see where our legislative colleagues are, and do they want to try to eliminate them, or do they want to have at least some very tight parameters around the usage and whether you need to get a warrant to access the database after a given time. We don't want to impede, you know, kidnappings or fleeing criminals that, you know, all that's on the spur of the moment. You don't have time to get a warrant. But for other types of investigations, you require the judge to say, okay, yes, for that, you know, to solve that case or whatever, or investigate this suspect. Yeah, you can go back into to the system and see what was going on 3 or 4 months ago, where your suspect in that vehicle was traveling. So all that to say, we can do a much better job than ALDOT did in the regulations again 5-6 years ago, which was a bare basics and minimum. But I'm ready to move forward and really tighten the screws big time on this particular usage.
Yeah, that's why it's important for you to talk about this, because if we didn't have somebody talking about it, they could, as a state, go, oh yeah, we got policy on that. And to butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers that don't have time, they're like, okay, a state's got policies on it, and just move on and not realize it's pretty, I use a technical term here, loosey-goosey.
Yes, for sure. And again, my thinking was 5 years ago to get the best deal you could get, but at least get something on the books. But you referenced, Sean, about the books being state policy, and that's not very strong. You know, policies can be changed. Policies have to be enforced, et cetera. And we need something in the code of Alabama that gives some real protections to protect the liberties of Alabamians. And this is an important issue to bring forward in the next legislative session.
And we'll come back to how it could be used or misused from law enforcement or folks that work with law enforcement. But you early on, back in 2021, too, had another part of this, and this is not being discussed today, but it was the idea of so Flock, this is a private company, y'all, and they're putting this on public land, right away, airspace, those places. And early on, their ideas were commercial, right? They were wanting to say,
correct,
they would be like, see your tag and then feed you an ad depending on the geolocation of where your vehicle was?
Correct. And so the idea that we would allow them to use state right-of-ways, and the thinking was at the time that they would, for the commercial pursuits and the selling ads, et cetera, to passing motorists, that would be the way the money would then go to the law enforcement agent, pay for the law enforcement usage. So the law enforcement would get it for free, but that would be, I say free in air quotes, mm-hmm, that would be paid for by the money being made on the commercial sales of advertising by the camera installers or the camera companies that wanted to use the state right-of-ways to do this.
They were trying to do that down here, Yeah, it was like an exchange, and you know, the municipality back then was saying, "Oh, it's not going to cost us anything." Yeah, that was always the sell. We're not going to, we don't need any additional taxpayer dollars to do this, which made me go, I'm worried about that. I didn't know it at the breadth you did back then, but I was like, that worry, why would they do that? And now we know why.
Why do we want to give a private company the ability to snoop on people and know their movements and this, that, and the other using government resources? And by that, I mean the rights of way, government land to do it. Now, presumably, they could buy private property and set up a camera on the private property and focus it in on passing motorists on public rights of way. But this is, you know, certainly where they want to use the public right of way and commercialize the usage thereof. Not a good thing in my mind.
What do you think it looks like when y'all get back into session? Now, this is, you know, here it is August, second half of August. Got a long way before session. Have you talked to fellow senators? You talked to folks over in the House? Are you going to get some support from other people?
I think so, if the people will keep the pressure on. You know, it again, when I tried to stir it up 5 years ago and say, our liberties are at stake here, we need to make sure we're putting some hard and fast laws laws about the, you know, the usage, et cetera, and some requirements. Nobody was interested much in the legislature. So I hope that your listeners in the South, the listeners in the North, people in the middle, they'll let their legislators know, this is something I want addressed, and I don't trust the government having a bunch of information without some kind of controls on the usage thereof and some serious penalties, Sean, if it's abused.
Yeah.
You know, we've got just cops are human, and because they're human, you'll have some bad actors among the lot of them. And if they misuse this information, they need to be held accountable. And I mean strongly, and, you know, just an easy choice. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Use it for your drinking buddy to snoop on somebody.
Well, and I always think about the other side of it too, that somebody who knows somebody who has access to these, right, could push them, whether through payment or blackmail or anything,
absolutely.
A third party says, yeah, hey, can you check on this?
Exactly. And then, you know, a lot of this is done by a third party, you know, where companies, Flock Company and others, you know, they're operating the system. They're holding the database. The law enforcement folks are just accessing the database held by another private contractor. Well, same goes for them. We're not going to let them snoop on people, again, using our rights of ways to turn around and you know, just snoop at will without these statutory controls on them.
Do you think the pushback, and this will be a good segue into our closing conversation, because you and I both have dealt with pushback when talking about the ABC. Do you think the pushback is going to be, oh, well, Senator Orr, he wants to not give law enforcement all the tools they need to do their job?
No, and that's where I said earlier, we'll see where the legislature is. My sense is you'll have a few that want to ban them. But by and large, most of the legislature will coalesce around some kind of tighter controls and tighter accountability if we're going to continue using them. And that's my sense of where most members will be. I'm fine either way, but I also have learned don't try to push a square peg through a round hole kind of thing. And see, you know, because they all represent their particular districts. They're hearing from their constituents. And again, my sense is we don't want to not use this good technology, but dang it, we really need to control it, because, you know, I've been overseas in countries, Sean, where they morph into facial recognition systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a situation in Alabama where, you know, the law enforcement was using facial IDs, using AI facial IDs, and then going out and making arrests on that information, and it was wrong. It was bogus.
Yeah.
AI miscalculated who the individual was, and it was impacting, quite frankly, those with darker complexions.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I was able to get a bill through several years ago that stopped the use of that. But technology is good, but we really need to make sure it's used for proper purposes and we have the proper controls on it before we just go willy-nilly down the technology road and don't think about our liberties and our freedoms that could be compromised with an overabundance of technology.
You think here in the year that we're talking about flock cameras and AI and all that, the state of Alabama should still be in the, seven, I can't even do math here, the very old, heavy-handedness with the alcohol business, like we're just coming out of prohibition, you know, with having state stores competing with private stores.
What do you think I'm going to say, Sean? We've talked about this. You know, I appreciate you bringing it up. And, hey, I think, you know, certainly to hear from the Tuberville camp indirectly that they are very interested in looking at the privatization argument because, as you and I have discussed, if we were setting up state government today, where in the world would we set up, you know, a whole system that competes with the private sector in the sale of alcohol? In other words, we don't have government controlled pharmacies, and those are controlled substances. Are we, you know, why don't we? And those are certainly more dangerous perhaps than liquor. And so are we going to start setting up government pharmacies to compete against mom and pop and Walgreens and the rest of them because it's a controlled substance? Heck no, we're not. But, you know, oh, we're going to, you know, allow this vestige from the prohibition day, post-prohibition days, as you mentioned, and allow it to keep on. And that's nuts because this is the system we know. Well, so many states have gotten away from it and moved on. And, you know, it's the 21st century. This is another one we can move on from.
Let's get with it. All right. Senator, as always, a pleasure. And hopefully it won't be so long before we get you back on the show.
Hey, thank you, and you have a good fall.
All right, you too.
Cool
there,
weather's coming.
You keep saying that. Y'all get it first up there. Well, it'll get here eventually. There you go, State Senator Arthur Orr, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, any of y'all that went to Poly Market or Kalshi and had put some money down on the Sheriff's Department not having anything to do with security in Pritchard starting next month, you're going to be a big winner. Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, the headline here, this is coming from our news partners at WKRG. Mobile County Sheriff's Office to end patrol and dispatch services in Pritchard. What could go wrong? Says, beginning in early September, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office will no longer provide patrol and dispatch services to the city of Pritchard. According to the MCSO news release, they will stop providing services. This is so if you need to figure out when to be out of Pritchard, 6 p.m. on Friday, September 4th. So is that going into the Labor Day weekend? Okay. So as of 6 p.m. on Friday, September 4th, then just be gone. If you live there, that kind of sucks. Sheriff's Office took over responsibility for Pritchard back in June after an investigation in the Pritchard Police Department leading to the arrest of four officers and the police chief. Quote here from Sheriff Birch said, "For nearly 10 weeks, our deputies, dispatchers, and staff have stepped in to ensure the citizens of Pritchard continued to receive law enforcement services during an extremely difficult period. We have done that because public safety demanded it, but this level of service cannot continue indefinitely without a contract, a defined timeline, or a sustainable plan." Officials say the decision came after weeks of meeting with Pritchard city officials. Pritchard Mayor Carletta Davis announced during the city council meeting Thursday she expected a contract to be in place within a week, prompting the sheriff's office to extend the patrol and dispatch until September 4th. Sheriff Birch said this extension is being made in good faith and out of concern for the citizens of Pritchard. It's not intended to pressure the mayor or city council as they determine the future of their police department. My responsibility, however, extends to all of Mobile County, and I cannot continue diverting deputies and resources from the rest of the county without knowing how long this arrangement will continue or how it will be funded, end quote. So the press release saying, after 6 p.m., September 4th, MCSO will only provide crime scene and major crimes assistance to Pritchard, which they were doing before, if the Mobile County District Attorney Office requested. There you go. Headline: the latest Pritchard headline. It's a Monday. Of course, we have a Pritchard headline. All right, let's get some text here. Let's go to CB Carl said, talking about reading food labels, Laura and I joke the way I shop, I should take people along and charge them as if I were a hunting guide. Okay. Let's see, Aiden in Citronelle said, Sean, it's obvious you don't understand government economics. I don't. I mean, and by the way, another texter here, and I know this person and I have texted back and forth because I think they worked cattle out west. Or somebody had on here. But CA said, hey, Sean, remember the polar vortex? That wiped out a lot of cattle herds in Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Okay, so if you want, and there are other, cattle losses even a few years ago in Texas. And then we got the screw worm epidemic possible. I get all that stuff. But if you wanted to incentivize rebuilding the stock for ranchers, you don't bring the price down. Right, you bring the prices up, there's more reason to do the thing. Let's see here. Alan in Baldwin County said, Sean, I'm in my late 40s, had some health issues several years ago that had me greatly physically limited back then and still somewhat to this day, but with a lot of work, I'm about 70% of what I was before. I never stopped working, but I was part-time for a long time, and it hurt financially. Giving up and going on disability was tempting, but I just didn't want to do it. Still digging out of a mess, but improving. Now looking at building some kind of retirement savings and income because 60 will be here sooner than later. And good for you pulling through that, Alan. That's tough stuff. That is why that story right there is why we have programs to help people in the United States go through something like Alan did, get you back on your feet. Problem is, they end up getting abused by many. And Fire Dog said, two men enter Pritchard, one man leaves. I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to use ChatGPT or something to draw up a revised Snake Plissken, an escape from New York. Maybe it's just leverage here. All right, maybe it's just leverage. 12:58, be right back.